Hello, I'm Gabriel. I'm lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. And I just want to say a big warm welcome to today's worship stream. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements. And we do all of that out of the compelling love of Jesus Christ that is shared in our hearts. You are welcome. If you have any prayer requests, please feel free to send your prayer requests to us, and we'll be glad to pray with and for you. The address is on the screen where you can send your prayer request. And we welcome your comments as well. If you have any comments, please feel free to share them, and we will read your comments as well. I wonder how many of you are missing in-person worship. I know there are a number of you out there. I've heard from some of you who are missing that natural contact and are looking forward to being able to go back to in-person worship and doing so safely. We are in the process of figuring that out and be able to do it in a safe way while at the same time remaining online to share the gospel with as many as possible. And as soon as we're able to confirm a date, we will let you know when our in-person worship will begin. In the meantime, I appreciate you joining us in prayer in our planning and organizing for that purpose. Thank you so much that in that prayer we will have a smooth transition, as smooth as possible. Today we are going to be continuing our series that we've been on this past few Sundays on who we are as a church. You know, we are Grace Communion Richardson is the title, and we've been looking at our values, who we are as a church and our values. We will look at our value of unity in diversity today. We accept that our diversity, our differences, are a gift from God. We embrace that gift, and we want to do so in the unity that Jesus Christ provides, that Jesus provides as the basis, the premise for our lives. And so we embrace our diversity as a gift from the Lord to help us be better together in Christ Jesus. So as I continue on this series, I will share messages about who we are in Jesus and how that informs our values, how that informs our unity in diversity, our relationships of love, and our sharing life together as children of God. We will talk about our vision, our mission, and our hopes for the future as Grace Communion Richardson. And I'm glad you are joining us on this journey of discovery. Because really, as we understand from our Creator God, we are in this together. Now, if you don't mind joining us, joining our praise team for a praise song, and then after that, we will have a prayer from Jean, scripture readings from Niall, and I will say a brief word of thanks for your financial generosity, and then we will get to the main message for today. Please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Psalm 75:1. We praise you, God. We praise you.
God, take us back. Place we began the simple pursuit of nothing but you, the innocence of a heart in your hands. God, take us back,
take us back to an unswerving faith in the power of your name, a heart beating for your kingdom to reign, a church that is known for your presence again. God, take us back.
Almighty Father, thank you for being bigger than anything that we may face. Thank you for the comfort of knowing that you're in full control, even when the world feels totally out of control. We thank you for the many blessings, even in the midst of difficulties, and the peace that you give us, even in the midst of our storms. Please provide for those, especially those facing great need due to the unemployment and just different employment problems that we're facing right now. Please heal our economy, not only for us in America, but for the entire world as we're able to benefit others that are less fortunate. I pray that you'll squelch this virus that's causing so much confusion and trauma and keeping people from their loved ones. It's causing pain and grief. Please heal those that are in the hospitals or that are suffering. Please comfort those who've lost loved ones. Please be with the stopping of these horrible wildfires and hurricanes, and just calm those hurricanes and put out those fires and be with all the people that may have faced devastation as a result of them. We ask that as a nation we can humble ourselves and turn from our sins, seek you and call on your name for guidance and for wisdom, that your protection will be about us all around your people, that you here in America and worldwide, and that the Christians and all the others who face persecutions could have your protection. Please bless and protect, guide, give wisdom to all our leaders at all the different levels of government that we may lead peaceful lives. Please guide our election coming in November. And please let there be calm, not anger or violence surrounding it in any way. Help us to be unified and just have a peaceful election process. We ask for your guidance and protection on all the military, their families, that you'll be with them when they get back, when their service is done, to help them with the the traumas they may carry with them. Just help them have hope and to have peace and good health to healing. I pray that you'll guard and heal our relationships and our families, and that you'll protect the institution of family, that you'll expose the evil and remove darkness by shining your loving bright light of truth for all to see, and help us to respond to that truth, that we might not ever call evil good or good evil. Help us as individuals and as Grace Communion Richardson to have our highest identity as followers of Jesus, and to make decisions viewed through that lens, so that our life can be a life of your love and the life of your values. I pray that you will touch us, our hearts, that we are anxious for nothing, but instead that we can come to you through prayer and in thankfulness, so that your peace, which can be ours even in the midst of difficulties, will be with us, guarding our hearts and our minds in Jesus. We ask for your love to cover us over so that we can be free from fear. We ask for you to fix our eyes on you, that you will help us always remember the examples in the Bible that can remind us that you'll never leave or forsake us, that you are in control even when things look hopeless, and that with you all things are possible. Thank you so much for bringing us here, letting us have this time of worship, and we ask that you will guide all that is said and done, all the music, and be within our hearts to help us to receive the message you have for us. We thank you for all these things now in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
First reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. Just as a body, no one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
I want to say a big thank you to our praise team for the praise song, and also to Jean and to Niall for the prayer and scripture readings. And I also at this time want to say a big thank you for your financial generosity to Grace Communion Richardson in our gospel effort. Your financial donations are tax deductible and they are very, very helpful, and we are grateful for them. On the screen you can see the ways that you can donate if you are thinking of doing so, if you're feeling called to do so. And we appreciate it very much. Thank you. Welcome to the main message now. We have been on a series of messages that I've been giving on who we are as a congregation. And we entitled it, We Are GCR. And the GCR is Grace Communion Richardson. And we've been looking at our values for the past couple of Sundays or so. Today we are going to continue looking at our values. And we're going to look specifically at our value of unity in diversity. At Grace Communion Richardson, we claim our identity in Jesus Christ as our primary identity. It is the identity that comes before all other identities. It is what informs our values. We try to fashion our values based on our understanding of who Jesus is. And in an age of divisiveness, of turmoil, in an age of tensions, it is fashionable to focus on what divides us, what separates us, rather than focusing on what unites us and what makes us one, what we share in common. What do you focus on? What do you value? Well, today again, I want to share with you our value of unity in diversity. As some will describe it, the value of being better together in Christ Jesus. And we are going to do so looking at some of the important aspects of what that means. And even going deeper, we are going to look at how this unity in diversity comes about. In other words, we are going to look at how in Christ Jesus, unity in diversity is God's best life for us, God's best intention for us. I want you to do me a favor and sometimes just take a look around you. Just pause and take a look around you and notice creation and life around you. And notice how many differences there are. Notice how many things are not the same. Notice the diversity in creation that is all around us. That's not an accident. That is purposeful. God deliberately made the creation that way. It is full of difference, full of diversity. At the same time, it is full of similarities. It is full of sameness. God intended it that way, purposefully. And it is meant, these differences and these similarities, the diversity that we see and the sameness that we see, they are meant to be complementary in life. They are supposed to help provide a certain level of equilibrium in life and a certain level of balance, if you like that word, in the ecosystem and in life as a whole. We complement each other in our diversity and in our similarities. And humans are no exception from the rest of the creation in that sense. God made us different and similar. And we are meant to complement each other. We are meant to be better together the way that God has made us. And this is what Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was explaining. And he explains it in the sense that the unity in diversity that God intends is possible in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, outside of the unifying, purposeful identity of Jesus, then all we have really is diversity for its own sake. And it is not going to be as beneficial as God intended for diversity and similarities to be. And Paul uses the analogy of the body to make that point. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and from verse 12 to 14, I'll just break it into Paul's thinking here as he shares his thoughts inspired by the Holy Spirit. He starts in the very first verse of chapter 12 in talking about gifts and how we should not be ignorant about the fact that God, through His Spirit, gives us gifts. And that is true in the church, and it is true with all of humans. We are gifted in different ways. And so he shares this truth, and he says that these gifts, even though they are different, were meant to be what? Used in concert with each other for the common good, he says. The different gifts are supposed to be united in use for the common good, because we recognize that these different gifts come from the one Spirit, and they come from Jesus Christ. So in verse 12, as we break into his sharing here, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul is saying here that when we consider and accept our primary identity in Christ, we are saying and accepting the truth that we are unified in Him, no matter what different backgrounds we come from. And that is analogous to the various parts of the body that the analogy represents. So in Jesus, we are made one. Whether you're a hand or an ear, you are part of that one body, even though the hand and the ear are different and are gifted differently. So Paul makes this point in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, yes, we are different. We are different ethnicities and races, different gender, different gift mix, different talents, different socioeconomic standards of living. And we can go on. The difference is all around. As I said earlier, you can just look around you and you see difference as well as similarities. But he is saying that these differences contribute to make a beautiful whole. And that beautiful whole is the body of Jesus Christ. It is like what you contribute to make a tasty mixed salad, or what you contribute to make a tasty vegetable soup. You have so many different ingredients that come together to produce a whole that is useful, that is productive, that is desirable. God has made us different and unified in His Son, because it takes all of our differences and more, friends, to begin to reflect the huge vastness of God. God is that big, and it takes all of us and more, I will argue, to begin to reflect that vastness and that majesty and beauty of God. Now, we're going to spend a little bit more time in Paul's writing in Ephesians. So what I have said so far is this, that yes, there are differences in the creation that God has made, and humans are not an exception. And yes, there are also similarities and sameness in the creation that God has made, and humans are not an exception. However, those differences are unified in Christ. In fact, they are made to reflect the different facets of who God is in Jesus. And these differences are made and meant to contribute together to produce a beautiful unified whole that is desirable, that is productive, that is good. And so difference and diversity is a gift. It is a purposeful gift. So when you see someone who is different from you, friends, one of the things that I would urge you to pray to ask the Spirit to enable you to do is to immediately recognize that difference as a what? As a gift. And it's not always easy for us to do that as human beings, because generally we see difference as something that we do not understand, and as a result, we see difference as something to be feared or something to be disdained. And yet God intended difference in the goodness that flows from Jesus to be something that is a gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, in the pastoral letter of Ephesians, Paul talks about this even more, and he shares about our unity in diversity within the context of the two main, would you say, background or ethnic differences in the world, because Paul was speaking from the standpoint of Israel versus the rest of the world, or the standpoint of the Jews versus the rest of the world. Comparison in that sense. So he reduced the various backgrounds and various ethnicities to just two: Israel and their experience with God, and the rest of the world, or Gentiles, and their experience with God. That's how Paul in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 approaches this subject. And again, we are just breaking into his thought here. Beginning from the very first verse, he consigned all of humans as being sinners. And that means that we all have fallen short of God's perfection, God's intended best life for us. We fall short of that. And then he introduces the solution to that gap. And that solution is Jesus. And then in verse 13, in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 13, he says, well, let's start a little bit earlier, if you please. Let's start from verse 12. It says, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ. This is Ephesians, the second chapter, and in verse 12. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So he's saying that At some point in human history, God was dealing with the children of Israel, not with the rest of the Gentiles. And that's why we come to have the historical description of the Israelites as the chosen people, right? So he's saying that this was Israel's experience with God at that time. It did not stop there. In God's progressive grace, it was going to be about all of humans anyway, even before the beginning, the foundation of the world. And so the rest of humanity were going to be in relationship with God through Jesus as well. And this is what Paul is describing here. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So, the crucifixion, the entombment or burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus to the heavenlies accomplished something. And Paul is saying one of the things that he accomplished is that those of humanity who did not have a relationship or the opportunity of a relationship with God through Christ are now able to do so. So through the blood of Christ, those who are far away, verse 13, have been brought near, have been given access, have been included in the opportunity for a relationship with God. Verse 14, for he himself, that is Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one, Israel and Gentiles, right? And has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Now, let me pause here for a minute. This is what I was saying earlier, that our unity in diversity is only possible in Christ Jesus. Because outside of Jesus, all we have is hostility. All we have is angst against each other. All we have is suspicion and hatred. All we have is antagonism. All we have is quarrels without end and wars without end, fighting without end. And Paul is telling us here that that is supposed to come to a screeching halt because Jesus makes us one. And I like the way he puts it here. He says, for verse 14, he, Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Israel and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So why do we want to persist in creating barriers? And why do we want to persist in living hostilely or living in hostility towards people of different ethnicities and different races? Paul tells us in Jesus that is supposed to be passé. That is not the best life that God intends for you and for me. And he accomplishes by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations that were given to the Israelites. It's called the Old Covenant. It was meant to make the Jews and Israel separate from the rest of humanity. And he says Jesus came and he set that aside in his flesh, in his humanity. Verse 16. Let's finish the rest of verse 15. So he set aside the commands and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. I find that as a beautiful reminder. It is also a reminder, friends, that true peace comes through Jesus. And that is why he's also called the Prince of Peace. True peace comes through Jesus. He says, in this world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. True peace comes through Jesus, because his nature of love, his lifestyle and what he stands for, is what promotes peace. It is what grants peace and the opportunity for peace. Verse 16, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So far as God is concerned, friends, we are not supposed to be hostile towards someone who is of a different ethnicity. We're not supposed to be hostile towards someone who is of a different background. The scriptures tell us in Christ, that is supposed to be put to death, and it's already been put to death with Christ on that cross. And so I do not have any right to be hostile towards a white person or a person of any other color for that matter. I don't have any right in Christ to be hostile, because hostility is supposed to have died with him on that cross. And we are supposed to live out his peace together. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. So peace for both Gentile and Jew. For through him, Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father by one Spirit. So in Jesus is true unity. In Jesus is equal footing. In Jesus is a plain level field, so to speak. At the foot of the cross, we are at a level field. No one has one advantage over the other, so to speak. And that is how we are supposed to live. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people, through various means, try to gain advantage over others. Unfairly, inequitably, unjustly. And Jesus tells us we need to come back to that level playing field. And it is in Him and with Him and through Him by the power of His Spirit that that is made possible. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. That is beautiful. We all are, no matter what our backgrounds may be, no matter what our gender, no matter what our socioeconomic status, no matter what our race, we all are members of His household. We are told in verse 19. We are all fellow citizens of God and of His household. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, let me reiterate what these scriptures are telling us, friends, is that we have been given the premise, the foundation, and the path, the way of peace and of unity in Jesus Christ. And that we all, no matter what our background may be, no matter what our race or ethnicity, no matter what our gender, we all, no matter what the difference may be, have been given a unifying purpose in Jesus Christ. To be members of His household together and to share the gift of difference in a way that build each other up as if we are contributing bricks to a building in which Jesus dwells. Isn't that a beautiful analogy? That we come together and build a building, spiritually speaking, that Jesus dwells, that Jesus makes a home in. We are those bricks. He is the chief cornerstone of that building. Our primary identity in Jesus brings us together, makes us one, unified through His Spirit. We can only realize the beauty of our unity and diversity in our identity in Jesus Christ, unified by His Spirit in living out who Jesus is and what He stands for. And that means, friends, that we cannot achieve unity by going our own way. We can't achieve unity just through human ideologies. We cannot achieve unity through our own understanding. We cannot achieve unity outside of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot achieve God's best intention of life for us outside of Jesus Christ. So, salvation in Jesus has two sides. This is what Ephesians 2 that we read is also saying. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, was raised, ascended, and is supposed to provide us salvation as a result. But salvation in Scripture has two sides to it, two sides of the same coin. And the sides, you know, in the Greek, soteria, is redemption or deliverance from sin. That's one definition of salvation. That God in Jesus redeem us or deliver us from the wages of sin. So we are saved as a result of that gift from God in Christ Jesus. Soteria, that is a deliverance from sin, a deliverance from the consequences of sin. But there's another side to this salvation, and it is captured in the Latin salus, and that is making whole that which is broken. So there is an aspect of salvation that is about making us whole as broken people, right? So there's the deliverance, and then there's the making whole. So first we are delivered, right? And then we need to what? We are made whole. And the Bible describes this in so many different ways, you know, justification, sanctification, and whatnot. It's like Lazarus coming out of the tomb when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." What did Lazarus do? He came out from the grave, from the tomb, but he was still what? Covered in grave clothes. And he had to what? Remove the grave clothes and put on new clothes. He's alive, but then he has to shed part of what he was representing at that time. And it is the same, even though we are delivered from sin, we are saved from the consequences of sin, we are also in need of being made whole, because sin breaks us, friends. Sin breaks us. Sin fractures us. And when I say us, I mean as individuals and in relationships. That's what sin does. That's the consequences of sin. It litters brokenness all around us in relationships. Ultimately, that's what's really it's all about. God is a relational God. And so when he delivers us from the consequences of sin, he also wants to deliver us from broken relationships. That's salus. That's the other aspect of salvation. To restore a relationship of love that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit invites us and includes us in. That which they are and that which they live. In other words, we are saved by and for relationships of love in Jesus Christ. And in this schema of God, there's no room for hostility. This is what Ephesians is saying. He makes us one in Christ. There's no room for enmity. There's no room for hostility in relationships. Jesus invites us into participation in making broken relationships whole, in reconciling differences based on him and his values, not based on our own ideologies, not based on our own preferences, not based on our own likes and dislikes, not based on our own feelings. No, he invites us to participate in restoring broken relationships based on him, his values, and what he stands for. And so he invites us to be ambassadors of his in reconciling and restoring relationships so that we will be better together as people of God. So here at Grace Communion Richardson, we value that and we seek to live out our unity in diversity through the power of the Holy Spirit. We strive to keep it real. We strive to keep it honest. We strive to keep it true. We're not always successful. We mess up every now and again, but we recognize even when we mess up that it is in the hands of Jesus. It's the premise and foundation of it, and it is what he is doing that we are joining in. We are not the authors of it, and the one who has called us to participate in him in restoring broken relationships is the one who's got us. And so we can rest in that even when we make mistakes, because we can go to him for restoration. That's what he is in. The business God is in Jesus is to restore broken relationships, is to take us to that higher level of a life of love and joy that they share in the Trinity. We strive to do so even when we make mistakes. It means being willing to have Jesus as the premise and standard for race and other difficult conversations. It means having our conversations moderated by the Holy Spirit, not by our own ideas and not by our own feelings. It means being willing to humbly and courageously listen to others, to hear them and affirm them as fellow brothers or sisters in God's image with Jesus' face, even if we disagree. That's what Jesus stands for. That's part of the way of Christ. It is what he is doing that he's called us to participate in restoring broken relationships. It is affirming the freedom and the destiny that we have in Jesus. And this freedom and destiny is meant for all of humanity, as Ephesians 2 says. And I want to conclude by reading Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. And here, John, who is credited with the Apostle John writing the book of Revelation, affirms the truth, friends, that God intends for all people, no matter what race or ethnicity, to share in this freedom and in this destiny that Jesus, his beloved Son, came to gift us. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. Revelation 7 and in verse 9, he says, "After this, I looked," John, describing a vision that he had here, "and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Salvation, soteria and salus, deliverance from sin and wholeness in relationships, belongs to our God and to the Lamb. You see here, so people from all backgrounds, nations, languages, tribes. That's God's intention, that we all will share that destiny that he has for humanity. So, friends, to have your identity in Christ is to know and accept Jesus, to be a new creation in him, to accept Jesus as the ideal image of God's best life for you, accepting his life in your heart and mind through his Spirit, living out what he says and stands for, accepting him as your brother and friend, Lord and Master, and King of your life, as his disciple, joining him in making other disciples of Jesus Christ. It means for us to value our unity in diversity as a gift from Jesus and to live it out through the power of his Spirit, to do so in truth and to do so even when it is not easy. So here's my question for you. Are you willing to have unity in diversity as a value that you hold onto dearly? Are you willing to see others, no matter their identity or ethnicity or race or gender or socioeconomic class, to see others as made in the image of God, just as yourself, with the same destiny of sharing in the life of love and joy as children of God in Jesus Christ, just as yourself? I pray you do. If you want to learn how to engage in meaningful conversations and relationships with others, especially others who are not like you, do not look like you, who may not even talk like you in the sense of having the same values sometimes, well, then go to Jesus with that desire. Talk to Jesus about it. And please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We are willing to walk this journey with you because it's a journey that we are also on ourselves. We do not have all the answers, but we will search for them together. You don't have to do life alone. Well, I look forward to See you next time as we look at another value that we have as Grace Communion Richardson, and that is the value of sacred hospitality. And I look forward to journeying together with you to know Jesus and to make him known and to share his love and hope to others who are in desperate need of it. Let us conclude this message with a praise song from our praise team. And hopefully I'll see some of you at our Zoom discussion after this message. And I'll see all of you next Sunday as we continue on our series, We Are Grace Communion Richardson. God bless you.
You bless the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. His love endures forever. 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 Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever. Forever.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.